to the Lord this morning. Lord, we lift your name on high. Amen. Remain standing a little bit longer, and if you could grab your Bibles. We're going to go to two references, one from Isaiah and one from the Gospel of John. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, and John chapter 14 and verse 27. Amen. I've been impressed upon the Lord to preach this message today as I was flying back from Darwin, which is on the way from where I was last weekend in East Timor. God began to talk to me about peace and how we need peace. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, John chapter 14 verse 27. If I could get the slides on the fallback screen as well, that would be great. Who's got it in their Bibles there? Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou, everyone say thou. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That thou is God, and that thee is God. And the Bible says that God will keep us in perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. But there's a condition for that perfect peace. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. That means fixed. Those whose minds are fixed on God can have perfect peace because we trust in him. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus says, I'm going to give you my peace. And my peace is not like the world's peace. There's some contrast here. God's peace and worldly peace. And so today I want to minister simply on this, perfect peace. I want to talk about finding peace of mind in Jesus, finding peace of mind. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word today. And Lord, we know that your word speaks. It is alive and speaks to us. So Lord God, let our ears be open, our hearts ready to receive, that you would speak to every need and every heart in this place today. And those joining online, Lord, I pray that it would be no distractions. Lord God, they'll be able to tune in, Lord God, and hear what thus saith the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. 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 Peace means different things to different people. To somebody living in a war-torn nation, peace means the absence of war. That the sounds of the guns firing would stop and the slaughters would stop and peace would be back on the streets as there is no more war.
Sorry, my alarm's going off on my watch and I can't preach with that.
Give me some peace. Peace can mean the absence of war, and for a school teacher, my wife was a school teacher, we've got a few school teachers here today. For a school teacher, peace is when the kids go to lunch. And parents, let's just be honest, if you've got a few kids, peace is when the kids get along with each other. Some peace. Peace means different things to everybody. But in the Bible, peace is completeness. Peace is wholeness. Peace is an inner rest for our soul. Everyone say a rest. An inner rest for our soul. And that inner rest, that peace that comes from God, that inner rest doesn't change despite what is going on. We've got peace in our heart. You see, somebody that has the peace of God is calm and untroubled, and they've got a rest within them. It's not that there's no problems. I mean, the storm can be going on all around them, but they've got peace in their heart. They're calm, they're untroubled, they've got a rest within. You see, a person that is not in at peace is a person who has this inner chaos, a worry and anxiety, constant worry and turmoil stewing and boiling up in them. They don't have any peace inside of them. And as Christians, I want to tell you today that you can have peace in spite of what's happening in your life. In spite of the storm, I want to tell you today that you can have peace in the middle of the storm. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? That you've been going through a storm and everybody thought, you know what, you're going to fall apart. And yes, it wasn't easy. Yes, things weren't nice, but there was an inner peace in your heart. Recently, with our dear sister Robin Yerbury, who passed away, we went to visit her. She had that peace. All the questions, all the uncertainty, all the pain, but she had a peace. And I want to tell you that you can have a peace in the storm. You see, it's in the storm when God's peace shows up and we realize that's when God's peace makes itself known. And there's chaos on the outside and peace on the inside. Peace doesn't mean that you will not have problems. Peace means that the problems will not have you. Somebody say amen. And so for Christians, the reality is, and let me just be true with you today, Christianity isn't a bed of roses. It's not a tiptoe through the tulips. Being a Christian is not easy, for the Bible is very clear that we are in a battle in the spiritual realm. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. You see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we are in a spiritual battle. Now, to understand that spiritual battle, you must understand that these evil forces that would come against us, they have already been defeated. Everybody say defeated. Because Jesus on the cross defeated the devil. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He defeated all of those things on the cross. It was a complete victory on the cross. But the devil is not defeated in a worldly sense. He is the god of this world. And you only have to look around and see the lives that he's trying to destroy and has destroyed. And you will see that on this earthly realm, the devil still has power. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he crushed Satan's head, Genesis 3:15. And it was symbolic of a complete victory. The head and that crushing of the head is symbolic of a complete victory. The Bible says that Jesus' heel was bruised, which speaks of his crucifixion and the spear in his side and the crown of thorns. It wasn't easy. It wasn't nice. But his heel was bruised, but Satan's head was crushed. And so Jesus overcame the powers of darkness, giving us a living hope. He conquered death. Everyone say, he conquered. We are victorious. Somebody say, we are victors. And so as Christians, his victory is my victory. And life as a Christian is a replay of that victory that has already been won at the cross. And so I win if I stay under Jesus. If I stay under his reign, I win. If I go under the devil's reign, I lose. But if I stay under his reign, I win. You see, if I win, all I have to do is stand. Everybody say stand. You see, the battle's already been fought out. It's already been played. Jesus won. He conquered. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We win if we stay and if we stand under Jesus. And so for those that aren't surrendered to Jesus and aren't under his rule, then you're under the power of Satan. And much of this world is in that situation. He still has power over those areas that we haven't submitted to Jesus in our life. You got to be careful. And so God wants to do a work in the mind. Everyone say the mind of his people. You see, peace is so important to every Christian. You cannot make it without peace. In fact, peace is part of one of the spiritual weapons and armors that we need to have. You see, peace is important. It may be invisible, but it's important. It is fragile. It can easily be disturbed. We must protect the peace that God gives us at all costs. If you don't have it, if you don't have peace, you can't think right, you can't act right, you can't decide right, you can't move right, you don't know what to do. If you don't have peace, you can't love right, you can't maintain relationships. You see, peace for the Christian is so important. The mind is a battlefield. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, Paul told the Corinthians, he said, I fear lest your minds be corrupted. Corrupted. And so the devil would come against our mind, and the mind is the command center of our whole life. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so if the mind is the head, and it just happens to be in our head, our brain, all of those things. If the mind is the control center of our whole life, then the devil's going to come and attack you at the level of your thinking. He's going to make it his mission to corrupt our minds with negative thoughts. And Paul said to the church at Corinth, they were in the church just like you and I. He said, I'm worried, I fear. I don't want your minds to be corrupted by the devil. And so the devil's going to fight you on the level of your mind. He makes it his mission to disrupt our peace. And so what does it look like? Well, people that go to bed tired and wake up tired. Slept 8 hours, but you're still tired. The reason you wake up tired is because, yeah, you got sleep, but you just couldn't find that rest. You couldn't find that peace. Your mind is in turmoil all night long, and you've been wrestling in your sleep, and you wake up and you know that you obviously were asleep, but you just don't feel rested because there's a battle being going on in your mind. I want to tell you, the enemy is after your mind. The devil wants you to worry you to death. He wants you to stress you out. He wants to break you down. He wants to make you quit. He wants you to give up your dreams. But I want to tell you, there is peace when we get our mind fixed on God. You can have a peace that passes all understanding. You see, when I think about this mind thing, it's as if there are many doors in our mind. Everyone say doors. And the devil's going to come, and I got a picture of a hallway there. Picture that as your mind. He's going to come down that hallway, and he's going to try every handle on every door to see if it's open. It's as if the enemy comes down in your mind, walking down the hallway of your mind, trying every handle to see which one is open so he can find a way in. Now, I already told you that we cannot be overpowered as Christians. If we could have been overpowered, we would have already been overpowered because we have victory through Jesus. But when we leave the door open, is somebody listening to me today? You see, the devil's going to walk down the hallway of your mind, and he's going to check every door handle, and he's going to see, where can I get in? He's looking to find that little wedge that he can get in, to get a finger hold. It can become a toe hold. It can become a stronghold. And he's going to walk through your mind looking for something that you have left open. He's going around checking doors. He gets access when we leave the door open. How do we leave the door open? Well, some people get offended, and then they allow themselves to get bitter. There's a great book by John Bevere called The Bait of Satan. It's about offense. You see, you leave the door open when you get offended, which leads to bitterness, which leads to unforgiveness, and unforgiveness is the unforgivable sin because God cannot forgive you if you don't forgive. And so offense, don't allow yourself to be offended. People will upset you. People will disappoint you. People will let you down. But don't let yourself become offended. Don't let it get into your spirit. Pride. Pride is a door that people leave open. The devil can appeal to your pride. He knows all about pride. Thoughts. Paul told us to bring all of our thoughts into captivity because if you let your thoughts just run, you've left the door open. problems. Yes, problems. And we all have problems. Circumstances, the way we respond to them, it's not so much what happens to you, but how you respond to what happens to you. And so sometimes we get all angry with God because of the problems and the circumstances. And when we do that, we leave the door open. People that don't have guardrails, they leave the door open. Temptation. When you give into temptation, you leave the door open. There's some people you ought not to be hanging around. Why? Because when you're with them, you left the door open. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You struggle with addictions in the past. There's some places you ought not to go because you know temptation's going to come again, and you're leaving the door open when you go there. You know there's some people, you got to get rid of their phone number off your phone because you know if they call you, the door's open. You see, the devil's going to go walk down the hallway of your mind, and he's going to try every door to try and find a way to get into your mind, into your thinking, and disrupt your peace. We cannot leave the door open. In fact, when you talk about doors, I love it that Genesis talks about a door and Revelation talks about a door. Genesis 4 verse 7 says, sin lies at the door. Jesus says in Revelation 3, he says, I stand at the door and knock. I think I could preach that sometime. The two bookends. But I believe in the power of the word, that if we stand on God's word, if we get our minds fixed on him, that we can have that peace. Even in the midst of the storm that you're going through today, the chaos and all of that, swirling and thunders and lightning, there is peace in the midst of the storm. Amen. The Bible talks about the armor of God, and part of that armor are the shoes of peace, or the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, those shoes that the Roman soldiers would wear, they weren't just sandals with flat soles. They were like football boots. They had cleats on the bottom of them so that you didn't lose your ground. Because imagine fighting on wet soil and you're slipping and sliding and falling. You're going to fall down. Someone's going to put a spear straight through you. And so they would wear these sandals, and Paul refers to them as your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, if we keep slipping and if we don't have peace, we can't advance with God. We can't be victorious. We have no chance against the enemy of our soul if we're slipping all the time and we just can't find peace. Yes, I know we're in a battle, but it's not the will of God for us to be fighting these battles when it comes to peace, because God said he's going to give us peace. He told us he can give us the peace that passes all understanding. And I know that there are issues that are so far beyond our understanding. There are things we don't know why. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? There are issues beyond my understanding. But I want to tell you today, there are no issues beyond his understanding. And you may feel alone, but he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. I'm talking about perfect peace. And so we get to our text today in John, and says this, peace. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Now, to understand this, why did Jesus say this? You see, we've got to get the context here. Jesus is approaching his crucifixion. He's in Bethany. And here it is. Mary anoints him. We've got to go to John 12. Let's start in John 12 so we can understand what's happening in John 14. Mary anoints Jesus' feet, and people get angry because they say, oh, that's expensive stuff. That's expensive anointment or ointment. You know, it's expensive. You would have been better off selling it and giving the money to the poor. And then Jesus says something. He says, well, I'm not always going to be with you. You see, now they're on edge. What? We go on a little bit further in John chapter 12, and Jesus rides triumphantly into Jerusalem, and they're praising him. They're waving their branches. They're saying, Hosanna. They're giving him extravagant praise. We can read that in John 12, 23. It says, and Jesus answered them. He said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you. And then he starts talking to him, talking about himself dying. He said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. They're like, what are you getting onto here, Jesus? What are you talking about? Before, when we saw Mary of Bethany washing your feet, you said, you're not always going to be here. Now you're saying that your time has come to be glorified. And now you're talking about a corn of wheat going into the ground and dying. Are you telling us that you're going to die and leave us? He that loveth his life shall lose it, verse 25 says, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. In verse 27 he says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I in unto this hour. Jesus said, I came into the world for this hour. I came to die. And here it is, more talk of Jesus leaving them. More talk of him dying and departing. And it's rattled them. It's unnerving them. That's John 12. We get to John 13, and now we're at the Last Supper, and Jesus is talking about his betrayal. The progression of all of this brings tension. It's intense. They're thinking, "What? Where are you going, Jesus?" Now he gets to the point in John 14, verse 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. Believe, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Go. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place, but they're not thinking about the place. All they could hear is, I go, I'm leaving, I'm out of here. Uncertainty, they're rattled, everything going on in their mind. And then he goes on to say this, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will also live. And they thought everything was going to be a certain way, that the Messiah was going to come and they were going to win victory over the Romans. But now it's all changed. You're talking about leaving. You're talking about your departure. You're talking about going. Can you imagine how they're feeling right now? Emotional stress, maybe that's where you are today. Seems like all your plans have come crashing down. Things didn't turn out the way you thought they should turn out. They planned that Jesus would be a king and a ruler, that he would take care of the Romans, that their world is shaken when they hear that he's going to leave, and that's not part of the plan anymore. There's uncertainty, there's confusion, and after all of that, Jesus says these words, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus says, there is a peace that comes from me, and there is a peace that comes in the world. And a scripture like this gives me, a preacher, a chance to contrast Jesus's peace against worldly peace. I know that there's a peace available for us. He has not left us comfortless. He said, I will come to you. And so everyone say, worldly peace. How do we get worldly peace? The world wants peace. They want, and you know, there's many ways we look for worldly peace. The first one is we say, you know what? I'm stressed out. I just got to get away. I got to go on a holiday. I got to have a day off. I'm just stressed out. I got to have a getaway. I'll find peace. And many people take holidays, wear themselves out on holiday, come back home behind in everything they got to do and all messed up. And you see, this is the world's way of finding peace. You need a getaway. You got to have a holiday. And I encourage people to have holidays and have days off. But let me tell you, you're not going to find peace just by having a getaway. Why? Why doesn't getaway peace work? Because you have to come back. Oh, if I could just graduate, accomplishments. If I could have these accomplishments, then I would find peace. And if I could graduate, get my year 12 or graduate university, or maybe if I could get a promotion or get a degree, or man, if I could just get a new job, if I could feel like a success, a little bit more money, if I could get a nicer car, if I get a house. Oh, if I could have that type of marriage. Well, if I could have those type of kids, you know. And the kids are thinking, well, if I had those type of parents, worldly peace. You won't find peace in accomplishments. There's no peace in getting more. And then the world looks for peace through chemicals. Everyone say chemicals. We live, and our doctors will tell us this, we live in an intoxicated society. Many people believe peace is only possible through prescription. The most popular chemical people look to for peace. Oh, it's Friday afternoon. Had a hard day. I got to go home and have a drink. It's a hard day. Or people look for peace through altering their mind through drugs and chemicals. Prescription drugs, recreational drugs, looking for peace. Proverbs 23 verse 31 says this, "Look thou not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yet thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, as he that lieth on the top of a mast." You're going to say, "They have stricken me," shalt thou say, "and you're not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not." And when you wake, you'll go back and you'll seek it again. People look for peace in substances, chemicals, drugs, alcohol. Let me tell you, I read Proverbs 23 just there, and it doesn't sound like peace to me. Then relationships. If I could just have that relationship. If I could just find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. If I could just, you know, find somebody to love me the way I want to be loved. Let me tell you, there is no peace in this world. I read a scripture and I believe it talks about relationships. Let me tell you, people look for love in all the wrong places. The Bible calls anything sexual outside of marriage, it calls it fornication, adultery. Proverbs 9 verse 17 and 18 says, "Stolen waters are sweet." Let me tell you, when you have sex outside of marriage, you're stealing something that doesn't belong to you. "Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." It was pleasant for the time. It brought some pleasure for a season. You see, the enemy comes and he's going to walk down the hallway of your mind. He's going to check all the doors looking for somewhere to convince you that you can find peace in all the wrong places. There is a peace that the world's going to try and give you. And let me tell you, you will find pleasure in this world for a season. Everybody say a season. Yeah, a season. Seasons are different. We got winter, spring, autumn, and summer. Seasons are different. And yes, they vary in length. But one thing all seasons have in common is that they are temporary. And you will find pleasure in sin for a season, but it's temporary. Hebrews 11 verse 24 and 25. "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Someone once challenged a preacher and said, "Stop saying sin isn't fun. I'm sinning and I'm having a lot of fun. Yeah, it's fun, but it's for a season. And when it comes to the end of that season, the wages of sin is death. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Isaiah 26 verse 3, our other text. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Everyone say perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth thee. Thou and thee, thou will keep him in perfect peace. If we keep our mind fixed on thee, that is God. Let me remind you, he is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is everywhere present. I got to keep my mind on God. The Bible says he will give perfect peace to those whose minds are fixed on him. I want to fix my mind on what he wants from me. I want to fix my mind on his ways, his desires for me, his purpose. You see, the Bible says he will give us that peace of mind. He will give us that perfect peace if we would get our minds fixed on him. Get your mind fixed on him, not them. Not the things in the world. Not that getaway. Not those chemicals. Not that relationship. Not that money. That's all worldly stuff. But if we would get perfect peace, if we get our mind fixed on him. Oh, get our minds fixed on him. Oh, not them. What is them, Pastor? Well, offenses, I said before. Unforgiveness, bitterness. You know, we let people live rent-free in our mind. I know somebody did an injustice. I know somebody wronged your family. I know all of those things. But don't fix your mind on that. Fix your mind on God. And you say, well, yeah, I know it's in the past. Yeah, it's in your past, but it's not really in your past if it keeps affecting you now. Oh, what other things can we get our minds on that's going to disrupt our peace? Ungodly entertainment. All the things on TV and the movies are a whole lot of rubbish there. Yeah, we got to, you know, you can't have perfect peace when your mind and your way of relaxing is watching that garbage that comes across all the movies and all that stuff that's out there today. Witchcraft and violence and sexual immorality, all this sort of stuff. How can you hope to have peace when you're filling your mind with ungodly entertainment? I know, yeah, and let's talk about news and politics. Yeah, it's good to know what's happening, but don't fix your mind there. I got to fix my mind on God. And social media. People get their minds so fixed on social media, spending hours and hours and hours. Let me tell you, I don't have a problem with social media, but if it's messing you up, then get off it. If it's stealing your peace, then get off it. If it's ruining your day, get off it. Get your mind off them and get your mind on him. Get your mind fixed on God. He will give you that perfect peace. It's a fight, yes, to keep your mind stayed on him, but we must fight that fight. I refuse to be distracted. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Everybody say the knowledge of God. I got to cast down anything that brings itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so we got to stop living in the knowledge of man and start living in the knowledge of God. Man doesn't know us, God knows us. And there is a wrestle between the knowledge of man and the knowledge of God. And if you're struggling with self-esteem and all those sort of things, let me tell you, don't believe anything about yourself that the scripture doesn't say, because God knows you better than anybody. He formed you. You see, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You got to start getting your mind off the knowledge of man and start getting your mind on the knowledge of God. You see, he will never leave you or forsake you. Somebody says, oh, it seems like your God's left you. That's the knowledge of man. God tells me, I will never leave you or forsake you. You can't do this. No. The knowledge of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, the knowledge of man says some temptations are too much. No, God's word says, there is no temptation that can overtake me that God will not bring me through. Get your mind off them and get your mind on God. Have you ever thought about this? When those evil thoughts come, when the temptation comes, use it as an invitation to connect with God. When you feel that temptation, just say, okay, I got it. I got to connect with God. I got to pray. When those negative thoughts start coming and you realize, okay, those thoughts are coming again. Okay, you say, God, an invitation to connect with you again. When things start coming into our mind, disrupting our peace, say, okay, I got it. Time to connect with God. You say, oh, Pastor, that's so old-fashioned. Well, if what you're doing is working, then keep doing it. But let me tell you, you got nothing to lose. Some of us are so messed up in our mind. You keep trying to do things yourself. You're just going to keep messing up. But the Bible says if we would fix our mind on God, He can give us perfect peace. I stand on the Word of God. I believe it. The Bible says that if I read perfect peace, I want that perfect peace. I got to get my mind fixed and stayed on Him. If the musicians and singers could come right now. You see, Romans chapter 16, verse 20. It says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan. Everyone say, the God of peace. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts. What's going to keep your heart? The peace of God. And what's going to keep your mind? The peace of God. Not the peace of this world, not another getaway, not another job promotion, not more money, not a relationship, not a chemical, not a drug, not a drink. What's going to give you peace of mind? The peace of God comes in your heart and in your mind when you get your mind fixed on God. I couldn't help but go back to an old song. And some of you may know her, Shirley Caesar. How many people know Shirley Caesar? Any old school gospel people here? There's a few. Yeah, Sister Grace. All you other rest of you, you need to live more. Get out a bit more often. Shirley Caesar's the queen of gospel. She wrote this song, Peace in the Midst of the Storm. She said, when the world that I've been living in collapses at my feet, and when my life is all tattered and torn, though I'm windswept, I've been battered, I'm going to cling unto His cross and I'll find peace in the midst of the storm. She said, there is a peace in the midst of the storm-tossed life. There is an anchor. There is a rock to build my faith upon. Jesus Christ is my vessel, so I will fear no alarm. He gives me peace in the midst of the storm. In my 24 short hours, years of living are brought to moments when life's final picture is taken form, and in the dark room of my suffering, I see a light that's coming and it's shining through. He gives me peace in the midst of the storm. Now when my spirit has been broken till it's masked by misery, when the doctor shakes his head and look forlorn, Jesus comes to make my bedside. A cathedral of faith and love, He gives me peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace in the midst of a storm-tossed life. There is an anchor and there is a rock that I can build my faith upon. Jesus Christ is my vessel, so I fear no alarm. Won't God give you peace in the midst of your storm? Let me tell you, He'll give you peace in the midst of the storm. Peace in the midst of the storm, brothers. My sisters, there's peace in the midst of the storm. Here's an anchor. Here's a rock. If you're troubled in your mind, I tell you, there is peace today. If you would get your mind fixed on God, get your mind off the things of this world, for there is perfect peace. Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace, not as the world gives, but I'm going to give you perfect peace. Let's all stand in this place right now. One last verse I want to read. In Mark 8:23. When he had entered the ship, his disciples followed him. And there arose a great storm. Everyone say a great storm. Insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, and Jesus was asleep. Everyone say a great storm. And his disciples came to him and awoke him and said, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. A great storm and great calm. Let me tell you, God has peace to match your storm. You may be in a great storm. I've got a God of great peace. You're losing sleep over something. Let me tell you, God can give us perfect peace. Oh, I'm going to fix my mind on God. And your friends say, well, you're crazy. Well, what's more important, them or your peace of mind? No, I'm fixing my mind on God. He will keep me in perfect peace if I would keep my mind stayed on Him. Simple message today, brothers and sisters. You can keep doing what you're doing, or you can look at the scriptures and say, the source of my peace comes from getting my mind fixed on God. I want the peace of God. You can try everything you want, but you can't out-God God. You can't out-God Him. He's God and He's God alone. You can't advise Him. He knows what's best. There is peace in the midst of the storm. And I believe here today that somebody has been under attack for too long. You need peace. You're troubled. You don't know what to think. And let me tell you, there is peace in this house today. If you would reach out to God and say, God, help me. I want to fix my eyes and my mind on you. And in doing that, there's going to have to be some things you're going to have to leave aside. You're going to have to put some things a lot further down the priority list and say, God, I choose to fix my mind on you. Let's lift our hands. I want to pray for everybody here today. Jesus, Lord, when your disciples were troubled, disillusioned and worried, shaken. When all their expectations seemed like they were all falling down, Lord, you told them that you're going to give them peace. Not as the world gives, but you're going to give them your peace. And Lord Jesus, we can relate with that today. Many needs today in this house. Lord God, we're empty, we're struggling. Lord, we're like a ship tossed in the ocean. And Lord Jesus, we take heart that you said that you would give us your peace. Lord, our minds are fixed on you. Lord, help us to be able to put aside distractions and worries and all those things. Yes, they're realities, but Lord, I want to get my mind fixed on you because you promised that there is perfect peace to them who have their mind fixed on you. We love you, Jesus. This altar's open. You can come and pray. We'd love to pray with you. We're going to sing, but there is peace in the midst of your storm, and it comes from God. You won't find it in a bottle. You won't find it in a getaway. You won't find it in your job promotion or more money in your bank. Only in God. Amen. Let God do a work in your heart today as we pray.